your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. We're going to talk about Russian soldiers right now, just a little bit for you folks on the blog who are very definitely pretty much seem to be on their side. And I wanted to say that, you know, maybe there's a good point there. So I decided to ask Frieda, Dr. Birnbaum, if she could do some research, albeit a little bit quickly, on Russian soldiers. Frieda, what's going on?
Well, you know, they have gone through a lot and they're very fatigued. They're hungry. And they don't even want to fight. They really want out of this. They have relatives in Ukraine. They identify with these people. They have similar backgrounds. And the death rates are continuing to climb. So they really feel that they don't have the outlook that's going to be positive for themselves. Mm-hmm. As the rising number of these dead Russian soldiers keep increasing, their will to continue to fight continues to decrease. You know, the Russians have seized 14 tons of food and medicine intended for the people in Ukraine. So it's a tough place right now to feel that you're going anywhere. There have been 150,000 Russian troops that have invaded in Ukraine, and an estimated 30 to 40,000 have been killed or taken prisoner or have been wounded as this continues. And Putin believed that he'd be able to take Kiev in 2 days. And as we know, it's still going on. And he's being told that he's winning where he's not winning. And Russian soldiers are even fleeing. They're running into the woods and they're leaving their vehicles there. They see that they have no chance. And then again, the Russian military has lost 3 generals in the fight, again, according to NATO officials. So Putin is not in the real world, and the destruction is that he's minimizing the amount of soldiers that have been lost and the war itself. And then again, the Ukrainian military helicopters have stuck a fuel depot in Belgorod. The first time Ukrainians struck on Russian soil. So that's a first as well, that Ukrainian is getting stronger and fighting back even more away from Ukraine. But Russian forces have also left the Chernobyl power plant because the radioactive dust they inhaled was likely to cause critical radiation right in their bodies. So things are really getting worse for these Russian soldiers who have to serve, it's compulsory in Russia, for males 18 to 27 years of age. And many of these young Russians of draft age, they're increasingly nervous, I mean, we all know why, about the prospect of being sent to combat. And this is done on an annual spring conscription that aims to round up about 134,000 men for 1 year tour of military duty. And a young man who's 22 years old, he's completing his studies, and he says after he's finished, he's going to have to face this draft. And they are told that they're going to the military exercise, but instead, they're really forced to serve in Ukraine. So this is ongoing for these young men in Russia, the fear of being there. They don't want to be there. They don't know why they're there. Their background is such that it's similar, and some Ukrainians are living in Russia as well. So there's fear on both sides, and they really are feeling more like they're related to each other than they are their worst enemies.
Yeah. Well, I guess the question I have here is, it strikes me on the surface, and I know a lot of our regular listeners and friends of mine are going to totally disagree with me, but it strikes me on the surface from what I'm reading that the Ukrainians are doing nothing but defending themselves, you know, and you have to applaud them for doing that. A lot of our listeners have brought up the fact that, you know, there is a lot of negativity in the Ukraine, political negativity, Nazism, etc., etc., and that is the rationale right now that Putin is using for the military action on the part of the Russians in the Ukraine. Frieda, give me an opinion on that one, would you?
That's It's very difficult because here, as we know, their leader is Jewish. His parents, his grandparents died in the Holocaust.
Yeah.
And here we're in a situation where he's doing this very same thing or similar things, maybe not as bad, but pretty close to it as Hitler did, destroying people who didn't provoke anything and don't know why he's killing children, mm-hmm. why he's killing innocent people.
Right.
And he has no heart at all for a piece of territory.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's good, actually, I feel, that Ukraine is going into Russia now with drones, and they're becoming more aggressive. Yes, we don't want Nazism. We don't want any of that. But we don't want people to be killed for that. There are people who believe that. What are you going to do, kill them?
Yeah.
And then there's going to be other people who believe it anyway. If that's what they want to believe, you know, freedom of speech, unless you hurt someone, we have the right to think the way we think. It's sad that religion has to enter in our lives that become warfare.
Yeah.
It's very sad that we are so similar, and yet we have to kill each other because we grew up in different ways. So no, I don't think that it's fair to say that because there's possibly Nazis going on in Ukraine, there's Nazis everywhere. Let's not kid ourselves. Everywhere we live, there are people that hate other people. Hatred is ugly. It's toxic. Jews are very easy to hate. I don't know why. I'm Jewish, but maybe there are reasons about me. I don't know. I'm hated. Some of you, the people that write to you, they hate me easily. But in reality, we really have to see what is going on behind all this. They're excuses. They're not even real, and it's so sad that people believe it.
Yeah.
Putin has a mission. He wants to conquer. He wants to be boss. He wants to be king. He wants to take Ukraine, and then if he does well, guess what? He's going to take another country, maybe Poland next. He's going to keep going, this guy, unless he's stopped, and he has to be stopped somehow. His ego is at stake. We have to be careful with what that means. We have to make him feel that he's winning when he's not. And save face and tell him how well he did, because he's a little bit, you know, off the wall here. But with that in mind, the only way to stop this is to make Putin feel that he's winning. And, you know, as I always say, it's not if you're right or wrong, but it's the effect that counts. And we have to be very effective with Putin.
You know, Frieda, that's one of the wisest things that I've heard you say, and I've known you for about 6 or 7 years now. That's an incredibly, incredibly wise statement. I read this morning, and this is totally off the wall, and I may be talking about it later in the show, but there's a pretty good possibility that Putin may have thyroid cancer right now. Just what I saw today in some of my some of my wire services, whether or not that's true, I don't know. But Frieda, let me just say one thing. It's always a pleasure to get your opinion, because your opinion is shared by many, many people, and I appreciate that.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.